Good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for September 27th, 2015. Koyo Kubose here. So very, very glad you joined us. Very nice weather all around the country. Nice early fall weather. This Sunday, I'm broadcasting from St. Charles, Illinois. St. Charles is a resort town about an hour and a half north of Chicago. And yesterday I did a wedding for the granddaughter of an old family friend. My late father, Reverend Gilman Kubose, did the wedding for the grandparents back in the late 40s, and he also did the weddings for that couple's children, and now I'm doing the wedding for the grandchildren's generation. That kind of a continuity is rather unusual. A lot of times the resident ministers of a particular temple are part of a hierarchy system, and they get moved around, transferred to different temples. But in my father's case, he founded an independent temple, and he was there for 60 years. So, and it's very gratifying to do weddings in which we had old family connections. And of course, it's very comforting for the family when we have to do the funerals too. But needless to say, weddings are a much happier occasion. But they do have something in common in terms of it's a time when a lot of relatives get together. The bigger the family network, the harder it is to get people together, and it's usually either on a very sad or a very happy occasion that they come from all over the country. And this points out the importance of relationships, interdependency. All the karmic interconnections, and it's just mysterious, wonderful, and amazing. For example, the couple, they got married yesterday. They had in their family on the bride's side an old obuchdan family altar that her great grandparents had. It was theirs, and it got passed down. And they decided to use that home altar as the centerpiece on the altar table. The wedding was held at a country club, which is more and more common now, of a resort, and in a banquet hall. They have a table set up, tablecloth, and they had this altar there. Beautiful altar. And it also, in the family, they had that came with the altar, all the accoutrements. They had the bells and the candle holders, and they had incense burners, and they had ojuzu, or meditation beads. We used that in the wedding ceremony too. So I mentioned this in my introductory remarks just before the ceremony proper started. And that's the first time that a couple had their own obuchdan family heirloom obuchdan to use. So it was a first for me. It made it extra unique and special. Another thing that was unique was, for the first time for me, and I think for most people, you know how the groom has his best man, and the bride usually has a maid of honor. Well, this bride had a man of honor. I don't know the story about this, but this was, one of her best friends, long history, I guess. So we had a best man and a man of honor. This shows, again, the importance of relationships and connections and roots. I've done the funeral service for her great, for her grandfather, okay, some years back, and you know, so these kind of family connections are very precious and gratifying. And sometimes when you get gatherings, even though they are life event gatherings like weddings, I think there could be a, you know, a tendency to sort of take them for granted. Oh, of course, it's nice, but to really appreciate the interdependency in relationships. And I think people feel it at a deeper level, whether they verbalize it or not. And it's interesting how tears are shed at both a sad and happy occasion. There's some kind of awareness of tapping into a very primal reality, the flow, dynamic flow of reality. And you see a wider perspective. Very spiritual event. Well, I'd like to introduce today's guest to give us a Dharma glimpse. Her name is Dorothy Chinyo. She was part of the LM Lay Ministry 5 group, and she lives in Florida. And in fact, she and her husband, Roger, went through the program together. And it's really neat how we've had about three or four couples go through the Lay Ministry program in the same class together. And I think that's so wonderful. And her family, again, had such a long history connection with the Kubota family. Her parents used to live in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where her father was a veterinarian, and they were I think their family roots were in Catholicism, but they were attending Unitarian Church in Wisconsin, and the church had invited my father to come as a guest speaker. And that was the beginning of a relationship, and eventually they joined the Buddhist Temple of Chicago, even though they were in Kenosha, about an hour and a half away. They brought their children to Sunday morning meditation before the regular service started, and they got together. They, one time they were talking about Frank Lloyd Wright's Spring Green headquarters, Spring Green, Wisconsin, right across the border from Illinois, and they were mentioning it, and then my father said, "Hey, I'd like to go see that." So, by golly, they made a family trip, and they drove over there and had all kind of adventures. And then he went on to, my father went on to do the wedding for their children. And some of the younger children went after him. My father had retired, and then so I started to do some of the weddings for the younger children. They had, I think, about 8 children, okay? And so Dorothy is one of the siblings for this family. And again, a lot of past karmic connections. So let's hear from Dorothy Chinyo.
Good morning, everyone. And here is my Dharma glimpse. Recently, I attended my 45th high school reunion. Because I elected to move south as a young adult, it had been 15 years since my last visit to Wisconsin. As expected, the weather was rather chilly for the end of summer. As we drove into the city, I immediately noticed the urban sprawl that replaced the acres of cornfields, Lake Michigan's harbor had been renovated, which provided new growth of mixed-use development, a nice combination of shops, multifamily living, boating, and more. The downtown that once housed a vibrant retail business now had several vacant buildings that sat aging. It was poised and waiting for its renewal, too. My high school associates and their spouses filled the gathering place. We wore name tags with our young photos so as to jog our memories, and thank goodness. Because I realized that while many recognized each other and kept in contact because of the new social media, Facebook seemed to be the most popular. Being that I do not participate in that, matching a person to a photo was more of a challenge for me. As a baby boomer, we had experienced many changes in society from 1966 to 1970. Stories included the revolution of sex, the discovery of drugs, the hippie culture, music, the Vietnam War, the war protests, and of course our own personal struggles. We laughed and cried. Towards the end of the evening, I realized we were now in the second half of our lives. Our children are grown, our careers established, and it's now time to define the big personal question. What now? Life is shifting from doing, accomplishing, and acquiring to being and connecting with the world around us. This reunion made me become more aware of my own need to discover my path for creative aging. So I decided to start. Number one on my list became gratitude. I am physically and mentally healthy. I don't take medications and strive to live a balanced life. And for that, I am grateful. Next came mindful. Being mindful of my habits meant trying to be more in the present. I find that I make better choices and responses that serve me better. Being open. This allows my field of creativity and curiosity to be endless. I need to continue to laugh, dance, learn, lead, inspire, play, and change. And lastly, continue to establish my connection spiritual self. The Zen Buddhist priest and meditation teacher, Richard Lewis, wrote a book entitled Aging Spiritual Practice. In it, he refers to this practice as just sitting or just awareness. He states, in just sitting, we touch our divine nature, which is ageless. May that be so for me too.
Thank you very much. One phrase that Dorothy mentioned that really jumped out at me and said, where she said, you know, when you're younger, your life is centered around acquiring and achieving. And then when you get into the second half of your life, children are grown, job is stable, and maybe even entering into retirement. And your life starts to center on just being and connecting. I think, I don't know what else to say except that I hate to overgeneralize, but Eastern and Western cultures, the East has a long tradition and history, relatively speaking, to the, you know, in the West, it's sort of a young country, especially the United States. In the East, there seems to be more of a societal ritual emphasis to promote awareness of our roots. And this can be seen, for example, in memorial services for past loved ones. There's an elaborate ritual structure about how when to do follow-up memorial services after a loved one has passed away, and 49th day service, the 1 year service, 2nd year service, and in the West, I think after the funeral, I don't think there's the similar observance of Memorial Days of when loved ones passed away. Maybe it's just up to the individual, and maybe if it was a really close family member, like a spouse or a parent or a child, something like this, you might go to the cemetery, you know, and visit. And of course, they do that in the Eastern cultures, but it's in addition to any personal mood or whatever, when you go to visit, there's a structure. It says, well, you got to go, in Japanese, they call it hakamairi. Go to the cemetery and have a service. And you have the minister come, and you invite some close, immediate family members. You have a formal service at the gravesite, and then the family goes and to a restaurant afterwards. It's a way of keeping the connections and the roots, so we don't forget that there's a force larger than our individual selves that's flowing along in the universe. And all the implications of that awareness, we get an appreciation for all the things that contributed to where we're standing right now in our lives. We're not totally independent. We stand on people's shoulders. You cannot look at one life and not see the influence of a lot of other lives. This is the spiritual values that give rise to a sense of humility, a sense of a place in the universe, rather than as a valiant, courageous individual that's trying to control all these large forces in the universe. Rather, you learn to flow with it. You learn about spiritual acceptance of things as they are, not as how we want them to be. You learn about gratitude, and the grateful life, as my father would say, is the spiritual life. May it be so. That's all for today's broadcast. Until next time, keep going and be very aware of all our relationships. Thank you.